New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Ellen D. Davidson, and we're talking about trees talking and the information we get from the heavens, from the stars. But also, there's something that you, Ellen, describe that I've never quite heard in this way. And this has to do with how we belong to the earth and how the earth holds us. Mother Earth actually holds us. We call it gravity, but we're being held by Mother Earth and nourished by Mother Earth. Is there any comment you would have on that?
It feels blissful when we tune into that, and it's a way to deeply relax our nervous system, especially the parasympathetic nervous system. And I encourage people, in whatever ecosystem we each live, the earth can do this. It doesn't have to be a forest. If you live in the desert or any body of water, they've done studies, blue space is good for people's health as forest bathing. So whatever we have access to, we can connect and let ourselves relax so deeply. Maybe lie down on the ground in the grass or sit comfortably, but allow that feeling of support and comfort and being held in. Because we do have belonging here. We belong to the earth.
Well, we're made of earth. We're nourished. We're breathing her air every day. I mean, every moment. And we're tasting her waters that are circulating around every place. So we're truly, truly held. I would like to also talk about some of the things you have. I don't know if you've seen elves or fairies or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just delighted by the fact that maybe these things, these entities, these energies actually exist. And I know that you mentioned in the book that mythology from cultures all over the world come up with these same images. And I think that you mentioned in the book that maybe it's because mostly the way people have lived for thousands of years, much more closer to the earth and nature. So the perception is different than it is now for us. So I would love for you to say something about the elementals or the fairies or the elves. Are they real? Please tell me they're real.
Yes.
Joy.
Well, recently, to prepare for this interview, I went to the woods several days in a row and just immersed myself. And there are fallen trees right now because of this winter we've had. And so I had to crawl through fallen rhododendrons on this trail quite a lot. And so I was on my belly on the earth. And I could smell the mulchy soil, and the trilliums were right up in my face. And there was a sense so vivid and visceral of these nature spirits, these elemental energies. I wasn't seeing fairies per se. I mean, I'm imaginative, so I can imagine that pretty easily. But sometimes I see really bright little lights dancing in the forest. But this was more like the sense of the exuberant creative joy of the elementals coming together to create thriving green life. And what I will say is water has consciousness, air has consciousness, earth has consciousness, rocks and stones, you can feel it. Trees have consciousness, the light has consciousness, and we can tune into their consciousness. When they come together, as they do on our beautiful, precious planet, when they come together, there is an exuberant, creative joy that is so full of vitality and so perceptible and so alive and so conscious that it sparks, we're made of elements too, we're elemental, it sparks that elemental joy within us. And then we're right there. You know how all the fairy tales have them dancing by the moonlight and singing and this, well, we're right there with them in that magical space. So yes, it absolutely exists. And I don't think there's a limit to perception. I'm probably scratching the surface of what can be perceived.
You know, I'm thinking, Ellen, since I've been immersed in your work to prepare for our conversation today, I have this plant. It's a maidenhair fern, and it's in a pot. It's in a very decorative, beautifully painted pot. And I must say, like, since we've been having a lot of chill in the mornings, I brought it off of my deck and brought it to my office so that it's more protected from the chill. So it's in a window, so it gets the light and everything. And it seems to be happy there, but I must admit, I forgot to water it. I've done this twice now, and recently I forgot to water it, and it just died back. It just died, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. just these sticks sticking up. But I kept watering it, even so. And within weeks, all the greenery started to come up again, and now it's getting quite full again. And so since delving into your book and your work, I have been, because maidenhair for me is an ancestral plant. My great grandmother gave it to my grandmother, and my grandmother then gave it to one of her daughters. And I was hoping to get a cutting from that one, but I didn't. So I went out and bought a new plant. But I consider it an ancestral plant. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of it that way. And every time I walk into my office, I talk to it. I even pet it. I even gently just put my hand on it and I say, good morning. And I say, I love you. And I'm watching it every single day just grow in health and vitality. It is amazing. So we don't have to go all the way out to Humboldt County in Northern California and go to these ancient redwoods. This is available to us where we live, too. Am I correct in assuming
that? Oh, absolutely. It's a point I want to make, because we need to make relationships with Mother Earth wherever we are. And all of us are in relationship, whether we're conscious of that or not. We're all drinking water, we're all breathing air, and we can all have, I mean, anyone who has a home can have a houseplant and have a relationship there. And there have been so many studies now, The Secret Life of Plants, was that this talking to plants, you're saying, makes a huge difference. They are aware of us. In fact, I think the plants on the planet have been here for so much longer than we have. I think is it 400 million years compared for trees compared to a couple million for us? There are elders. I now think that they're very aware of us in ways that we don't even know yet. And so I'm sure your fern is responding to your love. And also I wanted to say your fern is ancestral, because I think, I'm not sure about this, but an idea that keeps coming to me from the trees is they're connected on a holographic level on another dimension that transcends individuality. I hope that made sense. But anyway, so your maiden hair is totally connected to the ancestral plant. The specific plant has all of those memories, codes, genetic information. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know how they do it.
But I agree with you. I think that they are connected. And I've done many interviews that really talk about that, not specifically with plants, but why not with plants? And before we started this interview, I was mentioning to you something that I was preparing for a different interview. And this is on AI, on artificial intelligence. And you just said something magnificent. I'd love for you to repeat that about what is your thought about the crossroads we may be at this time.
Well, it was so interesting when you brought up thinking about AI, because I had just been thinking about AI when I went to the woods to prepare for this interview, and it did not seem related. And I wondered why. But what I had been seeing in my mind's eye was humanity, in a way, kind of at a crossroads. And one direction, we reforest, we regreen, we carefully, thoughtfully, depending on each ecosystem, but we create a world where we can have these connections with wild nature that are, I made up a quote of my own about wild nature when I was out there. Wild nature is the refreshment of the ages for the wearied and heartsick. So that came to me when I was out there, and I was seeing how we could make more wildness available, more parks in cities, more open places, so that we can all have this. I also saw that as we are creating a world that's increasingly less habitable, with water you can't drink, air you can't breathe, toxic and polluted ground and plastics and chemicals and radioactivity, as that frightful world has been coming into manifestation, I saw a potential that I don't particularly like, that we would turn ourselves into sort of AI hybrids so that we could survive in an environment that's not inhabitable for humans and most other species. I hope that doesn't happen. It's like the science fiction horror stories I was reading as a teenager, but it did seem with the new developments in AI, like it's not completely impossible anymore.
Well, exactly. I agree with you that we seem to be at a crossroads, and I want to delve into this topic with others so that I understand it and the cautions that I personally feel about it and about the choices we're making. So I'm really glad for that you've delved into that. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Ellen D. Davidson, and she's the author of Wild Path to the Sacred Heart. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, Ellen D. Davidson, and she spells D-D-E-E, ellenddavidson.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Ellen D. Davidson, and we're talking about trees and forests and organic life, really. And I'm wondering, as you went into the forest before the interview, did you get any message about this interview from the forest before, or any preparation that before?
Well, actually, I did, because one thing that happened was, because there were so many down trees, mostly it was the rhododendrons and the Douglas fir and alders from the storms, occasionally a redwood, but I literally had to crawl through the trees on my belly at least a dozen times for stretches. And I was aware that the times we're in are full of obstacles for humanity now. We're in a little bit of a rough stretch as we hopefully are birthing a golden age, as some people see it. Pluto just went into Aquarius, so there's some new age lore. But I was aware that there will be these obstacles collectively for all of us. And while I was crawling on my belly, and you know, I'm not a spring chicken, so it's not my favorite thing, but trying not to hurt my knees or wrench my shoulder or whatever, I was aware that I still could slow down and enjoy myself. It smelled delicious. The trilliums were beautiful. The birds were still singing. And I thought, for all of us, there's a way where we can stay grateful, present in the moment for all the beauty that is. We're still here. This beauty still exists. We still have butterflies and bees and trees, and we can enjoy every moment of being on this amazing planet. I mean, this biosphere that took eons to create is utterly, it's unimaginable. It's humorous. I mean, who invented zebras and octopus, you know? And it's gorgeous. The beauty is beyond, it's mind-boggling. And so even though we're going to have to navigate times that are might be challenging it. And then there's clear stretches. Sometimes I get on the path and I'd be just cruising along. And so we'll also have times where things are a little bit more stabilized again. So I wanted to say, the message that came through was to gratefully enjoy the gift of our lives.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I know that we all want to contribute in a positive way to the betterment of the planet and to be of help in some way. We really do. And I know all the listeners of New Dimensions really, really are working toward that. So what I'm hearing you say in the message you're receiving is that we take time to enjoy the moment. And I'm thinking of the words of William McDonough, who is an anticipatory design architect, and we've interviewed him many times. And I tell this story, and pardon my listeners if I tell it again, but Michael and I, my late partner, Michael Toms, and I were sitting on his front porch, and we were talking about the work of Bucky Fuller. And Michael said, form follows function. And Bill said, yes, form follows function, and function follows evolution, and evolution follows celebration. Mm-hmm. And then he says, it's not about survival of the fittest. It's the true evolutionary winners are those who celebrate the most, because, and he ended his little soliloquy about, nature is all about fierce celebration. And so that's what you're saying here, is to remind us to celebrate our lives, to celebrate what is available right here, right now, as we worry about the future or we're stressed about the future. And I'm also thinking of the connection, Ellen, between right now in coming into spring in 2023 right now. And in Northern California, we have just had been coming out of a drought, terrible, terrible drought. And now it's just rained and rained and rained. And so that's good in one way. But then the winds came up recently. I mean, huge winds, and trees are falling over. And in that falling over, we can be very sad about that. But there's something that happens in a fallen tree if we just let it be. So describe what a fallen tree does in the forest.
Well, they're very much still part of the system. And I did have this Buddhist Lama tell me once that a fallen tree is still foresting. That's how she put it. Thank you, Lama Chu Yang. So what's happening? Those fallen redwoods can take 300 years to decompose. While they're decomposing and nourishing the forest floor, they're habitat for all kinds of insects and birds and, you know, all the life. And the moss grows out of the trunk and the ferns and the fronds. And because forests are a whole system. And I did want to backtrack. You said something about the evolution of being about cooperation. And Peter Walburn, in his book, The Hidden Life of Trees, is talking about how we used to view trees as individuals. And they're not. They're a whole forest. And their survival depends on being together as a whole forest. Even for the big, sturdy, strong old trees, if they get sick or have a problem, the younger trees will support them and nourish them. Mm. And forests will keep old stumps alive, sometimes for hundreds of years, which also mystifies me. I wonder if maybe there's information they need from these elders who are just beaten down to stumps now, but they keep them alive. So the fallen trees are still part of the whole. And I always think everything's metaphoric. Everything is multidimensional on all dimensions. So my worldview is that when we leave our human bodies, we're morphing. We're constantly changing forms, just like nature does. Nothing's ever really lost. It just changes forms. Even when something's eaten, well, now it's part of the thing that ate it, you know, or the creature that ate it. And so that level of oneness, we're all morphing into each other exactly. All the time.
Exactly. That just reminds me, when you say the stump, I'm thinking of the trees then that form a circle that start to grow. The new little saplings become like this circle of trees. And that just takes me to an idea that you have had, that you have come to when you realize that there are all sorts of, especially women's circles that are happening all over the earth that have to do with the trees and helping the trees. And you've started a circle of your own. And I'd love for you to encourage us to do this kind of work, to join with others and start our own circle. So any comments you'd have on this, I just so deeply appreciate.
My circle went on hold for COVID because my husband was high risk and we couldn't meet in person. And I was in a second Tree Sisters circle that was online, and that's continuing on. But Tree Sisters actually isn't officially doing circles anymore, which kind of breaks my heart, because I really think the restoration of human beings, of people, it has to go hand in hand with the restoration of our world. We didn't get so out of balance. All of us come from Indigenous people who had close organic relationships with the earth that were in balance, that were sustainable. We didn't get to this point without becoming out of balance ourselves. So we're coming from a lot of trauma, almost everyone. And circles are a way to heal that. And to have belonging and authenticity. It's a place to be safe enough to allow what's really true for each person to come up and be shared and witnessed. And it's amazing how often traumas will sort of dissolve when they're heard, when we deeply listen to each other. So that's just as important as listening to the earth.
I just so concur with what you're saying, and it just made me write something that also supports this whole idea that the what we're doing in this circle work, and we don't need to understand ritual. We don't need to say, I don't know how to do this. All you do is just call two or three people together and just let it grow organically. And you don't need a lot of people to do it. You know, my women's circle has been meeting for over 45 years together.
Wow.
And there are seven of us. So, but what happens, there's such powerful magic when we come together, where we're listening to one another deeply, and it's not a therapy circle, but we're just listening and providing safety and comfort together. And as we're sistering and brothering with each other, we're holding each other in beauty and in goodness, and that really empowers us as we witness one another in the full genius of who we are. Oh, goodness, we've run out of time. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I got on my soapbox, but thank you so much.
No, I love that.
Thank you so much, Ellen, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure.
Yes, mine too. I've been speaking with Ellen D. Davidson, the author of Wild Path to the Sacred Heart. And as I said, her website is Ellen D. Davidson, D is in D-E-E, ellendavidson.com if you want to know more about her work, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3787.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973. Thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Amoda Ma, author of Falling Open in a World Falling Apart. Next time,
though walking through a forest for just 15 minutes can lower symptoms of anxiety and depression and boost positive moods. What better way to welcome spring than by spending time among the trees? As a national nonprofit organization, Tree Canada works to improve the lives of Canadians by planting and nurturing trees in communities across the country. They support individuals, local groups, businesses, and municipalities to increase tree cover and help fight climate change. Join Tree Canada in growing better places to live by visiting treecanada.ca.
Hi there, this is Jean.